Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to continue our Bible study on the different names or titles for the devil. The Bible gives us many, 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 many different names. And as I've tried to explain from what I can tell in Scripture, first of all, God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes in Scripture. So if he chooses to use a different name for the devil, there's a reason. For instance, I've used this illustration several times. I'll do it again. I am a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor. I'm a friend. I'm a son. I'm a citizen. I have many different roles that I play, though I'm the same person. I'm slightly different to others based on what my role is at that time. Does that make sense to everybody? The same is true with the devil. And God gives us all these different names and these different titles for a reason. And I really believe that this has been more practical than you would think. But we've studied, we've talked about the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the old serpent, the dragon. We've talked about several others, and I'm just naming a few of them. But you've seen that each one holds a different place value. And tonight, we're going to actually talk about two different ones. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now look at me for just a second. Notice God's using a contrast here. He's talking about dark and light. He's talking about righteous and unrighteous, correct? Now we'll look at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ, that's good, with Belial, that's bad. Notice Belial is capitalized. Mark that. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So that word Belial is another name for the devil. That word Belial is another name for the devil. You could put in the margin of your Bible, or if you wanted, that's the devil. We'll talk about that in a second. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Some say Belial, but I really think it's pronounced Belial. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 24 with me. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out what? Devils. Now look at me. He's talking about Jesus casting out devils or demons, correct? Now watch this. But Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Beelzebub, that's the devil. The prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now look at me. He's referring to the devil here. He said, look, how can Satan cast out Satan? He said, so how can I cast devils out as Beelzebub, which is the devil? So tonight we're going to talk about these two names, Beelzebub and Belial. All right. Now let's start with where we started in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with let's stay in Matthew 12. Since you're there, don't turn. Matthew 12, we'll talk about Beelzebub first. This name Beelzebub is only used seven times in Scripture. We saw it twice here in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. I think this is funny. Some of you might not find the humor in this like I do, but the word Beelzebub means dung god. That's literally what it means in the Greek, and if you looked it up and chase it down, it literally means the god of dung. God is telling us what he believes the devil believes. It's dung. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse number 25. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servants as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of his household? And notice it's talking about somebody talking bad about their leader. But I want you to notice they're not necessarily calling him the devil, but they're talking about the god of dung. All right, take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 3. Your Matthew, Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now this refers back to Matthew chapter 12, where they were accusing Jesus of being the devil casting out devils. But notice it says Beelzebub there. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse number 15. Look at verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And that's not talking about unintelligent. It means it couldn't speak. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. That was where I was at court today. I'm sorry. The news media. And the people wondered, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now, we have to understand something. God uses this term seven times. I can't make this stuff up. It's real. I was one of the folks on the jury pool with me today. Ended up being the jury foreperson. Young lady. She looked like she got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. Had about eight different earrings in her ear and stuff. And tattoos everywhere. The one I noticed most was a dragon, and underneath it, it had the number 666. And I thought, if everybody could just see what I just saw, I taught on the dragon last week, and you have the mark of the beast. And she had blue hair and all kinds of stuff. Now, the world doesn't think anything of it. I looked at it and thought, what a wasted life. What a sad thing. Yeah. Now, God is telling us that the devil's philosophies are like manure. They're like dung. Everybody look at me for a second here. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's good. Communism and socialism is catching fast. Can I tell you why? Because we're teaching it in our public educational systems. Amen. From kindergarten through college and thereafter. How can New York State and New York City especially choose a socialist mayor and now getting three more on board with him there in New York City? Say, preacher, what's this world coming to? Well, we've accepted a new philosophy. I'm going to say this. And I hope you do your research and get as mad as I am. When former President Obama, dedicating his $1 billion... I'm trying to... His $1 billion Beelzebub building, amen? He said, our forefathers got it wrong. He said, the experiment of capitalism does not work. Folks, the term experiment of capitalism. go back in history to the early 1900s, that is a statement right out of Karl Marx and Marxism. Marxism is taking over our country quickly, and is being taught in our public schools. We have accepted it way too much. I refuse to be silent. I refuse to accept it. Why is it that Christian schools and homeschoolers are belittled? Well, our kindergartner that we had this year, Brother Kevin just got the test scores back, and our kindergartners, first, second, third graders are reading many years past grade level. Their thinking skills and computing skills are far exceeding others. And we're taking the state testing they want. Do you know what our lowest test scores are in? Social studies, because we don't teach our children social justice, we teach them Bible. Social studies is not history. That we have changed the word history to social studies because of socialism. You have to understand something. We have been programmed for generation after generation. This has been going on for over 100 years in America. Goes back all the way to 1900, 1901. The Marxists who were being sought out in the educational systems in Germany left Germany and landed in a place called Columbia College near Washington, D.C. That's where they began to teach. Who do you think, would anybody know what Columbia College or Columbia University is known for? That's the head of the NEA. That's the teaching college of America. That is the gold standard for teaching for our public school systems. And for 100+ years, it's been infested with Marxism. Every educational major in public education is being taught Marxism. To the point where we are now believing it, how else can you get a idiot mayor in New York City like Mandami or whatever his name is? Say, I can't believe that, preacher. I can. And I'm going to say this. It's not the loudness of the bad. It's the Christians and the good people that are afraid to stand up and speak right. The problem today is not the loudness of the bad. It's the quietness of the good. Beelzebub, old, rotten, worthless, of no value. That's what psychology is. Do you know what the word psychology means? The study of man's mind. How can one sinner study another sinner and be able to correctly cipher a sinner, especially when it only has a body and a soul, and as a lost person, they can only be 2/3 right? Well, if you're 1/3 wrong, guess what? You failed. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God made you a body, a soul, and a spirit. And psychology only works on the physical and the emotional or the intellectual. Hang on. I have a little motto by which I live. The devil's going to throw manure at you. He's Beelzebub. You can either complain about the smell, or you can use it for fertilizer and grow. I don't know about you. I don't particularly like the smell, but I can't smell anymore, so it doesn't matter. A couple months ago, y'all were coming to church. Man, what's that smell? I'm like, I don't know. I don't smell anything. My son-in-law says, does it really smell this bad all the time around? I said, what smells? And he says, yeah, somebody spreading manure on the fields. It only lasts a little couple days. It'll dissipate. Don't worry. That's called country air. These city folks don't understand. They're used to swallowing soot. Amen? Now, when the devil throws things at you, you can either grow or you can sit there and whine and complain about it. Too many Christians are whining and complaining about it instead of just burying it and growing with it. I better not say what I was thinking there. You will hear the term Beelzebub in a lot of witchcraft movies, Harry Potter, and other things. Remember, it is a dung god. Not dumb, dung, manure. Now let's go to Belial. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. We're going to spend just a little longer on this, and then I'm going to tie it all together here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now look at me. God says we're not to yoke up with unbelievers. That means this. It doesn't mean that you don't ever associate with somebody who's lost. But you're not supposed to hook up and harness together and pull together to pull the same direction. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about being a companion with. Now watch this. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The word Belial means worthless, without profit, or wicked. Now notice it's capitalized. A capitalized word is a proper noun. That means it's a specific person, place, thing, or idea. It doesn't say just Belial in general. It's talking about the devil. Now, stay with me for a second here. The devil's plans will cause you to end up worthless. Young people, listen to your preacher for a second. What the world has to offer looks good on the outside, but it doesn't end up good. Liquor looks enticing. Come with me to the rescue mission on Friday night. I'll show you what liquor does. Smoking looks cool. Come with me to the hospice, listening to people cough up chunks of their lung and putting it in a tissue, dying of emphysema. I've watched them spit up black and red chunks of their lungs, suffocating to death. Why? If God wanted you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on your head. It doesn't work that way. Living for yourself ends up in a lonely life. Did you hear what I just said? Living for yourself ends up in a lonely life. And living for the devil never satisfies. Everybody look at me for a second here. Brother Jim, I've yet to sit beside a Christian that was dying and said, I regret being a Christian. Never have found one. I've been beside many who get to their deathbed saying, I wished I'd have done better. I've led many to Christ on their deathbed saying, I wished I'd done this earlier. And they regretted every part of their life. death comes to everybody, saved or lost. But do you want to live in regret or do you want to live satisfied with God? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Look at verse number 17. First Samuel 25, look at verse 17. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. This is talking about Abigail's husband, Nabal. When David was on the run from King Saul, he was a wealthy man and would not help King David, and King David was about to kill him. And he was telling his men, this guy is the son of Belial, son of the devil. Look, skip down to verse number 25. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. That's talking in reference to Abigail. She said, my husband is like his name, folly, worthless. Hello. After Nabal died, Abigail became one of David's wives. Just so you know, turn to Deuteronomy. Go back a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13, look at verse number 13. Well, it'll help if I get to the right chapter. There we go. He's talking about idolatry here. Look at verse number 13. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go serve other gods which ye have not known. Now look at me. The devil's crowd doesn't care who you serve as long as you don't serve God correctly. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse number 7. This is Shimei cursing King David. Look at what it says in verse 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. He's talking to King David and called him the son of the devil. People don't understand. That's pretty serious stuff. You want to know why one of David's men said, let me go cut that dead dog's head off. I'll only swing once, King. You don't have to worry about a second shot. Say why? Because he was calling King David a devil. Now, the way of the devil always ends up bad. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Young people, this ought to be one of your verses that you memorize. Choosing rather, verse 25, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Everybody look at me. You'll have fun doing wrong, but it doesn't last. The devil's fun always ends up in destruction. Never a doubt. There's not one part of the devil's fun that's not fun up front, but it's always got a hook in it. It's always got a knife in it. Up in the Inuit country area of our country, Alaska and Canada and Russia and things, one of the ways they kill polar bears, because they're obviously very large animals. Average polar bear will go 10 to 12 foot tall, weigh in excess of 15, 16, 1800 pounds or more. They're ginormous. So what they'll do is they'll kill a seal and keep the blood. And what they'll do is they'll put some blood out on the ice and they'll take a razor blade or a real sharp knife or rock and put in the pile of that blood till it freezes. And then they just keep pouring blood on layer after layer and letting it freeze. a polar bear can smell seal blood, they say, from an average of 5 to 7 miles. That old polar bear gets a snoot full of blood and he starts a-coming. And what he does is he comes over and sees that pile of blood and he begins to lick it. And as he's licking it, the heat from his tongue starts melting it, but it also is cold enough to deaden the pain in his tongue. And he begins to cut his tongue every time he lashes that razor blade or that sharp stone. And the more he licks, the more blood comes out, and he's thinking he's getting seal blood, but he's drinking his own blood and literally bleeds himself out drinking his own blood. That's exactly what the devil does. Looks like fun, but you're going to end up dead. Going to end up on your back. Going to end up with a lot more problem than you thought you would. That's what Belial does to someone. When you yield to Belial, you've wasted your life. I'll say it here in a little while. I'll hold on. That's why we're not supposed to be like the world. That's why God says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what concourse hath Christ with Belial? Light with darkness, good with evil. And I'm paraphrasing that there. But why are we trying to be like the world? The world says, let's not keep the rules. Let's feel sorry for somebody and let them break the rule. As I sat on a jury pool today, one of the hardest things I did was convince people, as the judge or as the magistrate instructed, don't make a decision based on emotion, only fact. And there were two people that were saying, but we feel sorry. I said, your feelings don't matter. I said, I'm sorry how you feel. I said, I don't totally agree with the right side of this morally, but it is legal. I said, we're not judging morality here, we're judging legality here. I said, the scales of justice are blind. I said, you need to blind yourself from your own feeling and make a decision based on right and wrong, not on how you feel. And they said, well, I'll feel bad. I said, don't take this the wrong way. I said, I really don't care how you feel. We have to make a decision based on right and wrong, not how we feel. I said, look, I'm a pastor. I deal with people. I said, I have compassion on both sides of this, but how I feel about either side of this doesn't matter. What do the facts say? Because that's what justice does. And it took a while, 2 hours, to make a decision today. Why? Because two people wanted to use their emotions to make a decision. When they finally saw the truth of it all, they agreed. They didn't like it. I can't tell you that I personally liked it. But that's what justice is. Now, hang on for a second here. My third point to this is this. Just like God and the devil don't dwell together, we are not supposed to dwell with the world together. Look at verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. The temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Everybody look at me. That's why God gave us the church. We are to come out of the world, be separate from them, and be here. I walked into the courthouse today, and of course, you got to leave your cell phones and all electronics in your vehicle, and can't have your gun or your knife and all those kind of good things. And you walk through, and it's not as bad as the airport, but close. Taking your stuff out of your pockets and putting it through there. I'm putting stuff back in my pockets. And one of the guards said, "Pastor, you go right this way." And I thought, how did he know I was pastor? I hadn't said a word to the fella. I was wearing exactly what I'm wearing right now. I have no idea. One of the other ones later in the day said, "I knew your pastor." He said, "As I was shopping 2 weeks ago and your people gave me one of these cards, had your face on it." Sat down in the jury pool and Kevin and Janet's daughter was there. "You're my parents' pastor." "I am. Who's your parents?" Now, wait a second. As a pastor, I was very pleased with that. Can I tell you why it sticks out to the world? Because I'm not like the world. I don't want to be like the world. I'm going to say this. That's why we're not to make churches like the world to attract the world. We're not supposed to have the world's music in church. We're not supposed to be playing honky-tonk music or rock and roll music. And, well, we're putting God's words to it, so it makes it Christian rock and roll. Folks, the term itself, rock and roll, is a very vulgar term. Just because you change the words doesn't mean the music is good. We're not supposed to have rock bands on the platform and drum sets and all the other mess up there. We're not supposed to have the smoke and light show. It's supposed to be the house of God, not the local pub and not the local, nightclub. Is that the right word, Brother Kevin? God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Sometimes people go through culture shock when they walk into our church. Can I tell you why? We are nothing like the world. The world has no sense of humor. Man, I see funny things in life and the world goes, "Ugh." And it seems like the more liberal they are, the less humor they really have. Now, I want you to notice something. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, watch this. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Then I want you to notice the next statement. "For ye are the temple of the living God." I want you to take your Bible, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're in 2 Corinthians 6. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your what? Body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Say, "Well, preacher, women have the right to make their own decision about birth." Yes, that means don't have a physical relationship with somebody. You don't have to worry about it. Once a life is conceived, you've forfeited your decision. Because your body is not your own. You're bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's, because he paid for them. So, well, it's my body, preacher. I can do what I want. Trust me. I know young people that go to Bible college and make foolish decisions. I talked to a parent of one yesterday. Had a great opportunity for a great, good young man making a foolish decision. Passing up what I believe is the will of God for his life. Say, why? He can't get some girl out of his head. And folks, you don't go into the ministry because of perfume. Because there's some perfume the devil sprays that isn't real good. It's called Beelzebub, amen, the dung god. Our bodies are not our own. By the way, that means our separation should be different than the world. Christians ought to dress like Christians, not like the world. Christians ought to act like Christians, not the world. Isn't it funny? You mess up one time at work and they say, oh, I thought you were Christian. I didn't think Christians were supposed to act that way. Yeah. Then they couldn't question you. That's why I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We're in the middle of June. I'm against the sodomite month. Amen. The alphabet soup crowd, the rainbow people, amen, the upside down rainbow people. Amen. I'm against the unisex movement. Amen. Unisex came out long before the sodomites and pride month. Can I tell you why sodomy is such a big thing, or was for a while? Because we've lived in a perverted nation and men and women wore out the physical relationships. They had nothing to investigate at marriage, so then they started with sodomy. Yep. When a woman looks like a man, it's a problem. Yes. When a man looks like a woman, it's a really bad problem. When you don't know what bathroom to use, you really have problems. Yeah. Now, we have to understand something. We were paid for as Christians by Jesus Christ. So our body is not our own. We're to glorify God in it. That doesn't mean everybody's supposed to be a preacher. But it does mean everybody's supposed to live a Christian life. Many of our men work in the world, and most all of you do. And thank God many of you have a great testimony. When you're on the job, people say, oh, don't cuss around him. Or they'll cuss and they'll say, oh, sorry. Can I tell you why? That means you're living the right way. You're not living like them. When you start talking like them, they say, what kind of Christianity is that? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Take your Bibles. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That means the sin of a Christian that destroys your body, you're destroying the temple of God. See, preacher, why shouldn't we drink? Why shouldn't, other than God said you're foolish? Because you're destroying the temple of God. Why should we not smoke? Because you're destroying the temple of God. Why should we not be promiscuous and vulgar? Because we're destroying the temple of God. Why should we dress differently than the world? Because we represent the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and we are God's representatives. Amen. Folks, this is bigger than we think. But notice it's all linked to the devil. Beelzebub and Belial. Those all go together. The devil's trying to break down the separation of the church and Christians so that we look like and act like the world. Go to the average church in America today and you can't tell it from a nightclub. Dark lights, big tall electronics, all the colored lights back behind the screens. They got, yeah, dark. It looks like a movie theater, I guess. That's what Brother Steve said. but you've got all the drums and the music, you've got orchestration. It doesn't matter which side of it you go to. And I'm not saying those things are in and of itself sinful, but I'll tell you this, the church is going that direction. See, fewer and fewer people saved and fewer going out soul winning on a regular basis. And the separation gets farther and farther from truth. I see it. I know it. Say why? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body because our body is God's. I'm his representative. I talked to a man last night. I'm trying to help their church find a pastor. And I said a long time ago, 13 and a half years ago, when we started this church, I told God, I've been an assistant pastor for 23 years. I said, God, if you'll pastor the church, I'll just be your assistant. Now, my title may be pastor on the stationery, but God's a pastor of this church, not me. I'm just his assistant. I have no problem with that. Can I tell you why? Because I'm not going to be some dictator saying, I'm God, I speak in God's place. That's reserved for the Pope, the vicar of hell. Anyway, how foolish. How foolish. Belial, Beelzebub. Let's be careful we don't become like dung or worthless or wicked like the devil. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Just another of the titles, two of them. And they go together so well because of our separation from the world. Let me ask you a question. Does your Christian life smell like the manure of the devil to the world? Or is it a sweet-smelling savor because of us being the temple of God?